Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. This is Kaya FM 95.9.
You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9. And this evening, we're talking about relationships. More importantly, we're talking about difficult relationships. And these are relationships that we may have with our relatives. These are relationships that we may have with our neighbors as well. Because, I mean, sometimes I suppose we assume that when you are related to people, that relationships tend to be rosier. Or even if they are not rosy, that it is easier to get over obstacles with relatives. But sometimes that's not the case. There are some relationships that are filled with strife, some relationships that are filled with fighting. Sometimes you're trying to get back together and make your way back to each other. But it can be very difficult. It can be a very difficult thing to do, especially when you don't have the professional help. So that's what we're talking about this evening. And we are taking your calls as usual on 086-000-0959 if you'd like to contribute to the conversation. If you'd like to maybe tell us about some relationships that you have that are very difficult and maybe that you're trying to mend, or maybe you don't want to mend, you just want to walk away from those relationships. The number to dial is 086-000-0959. Remember, you can SMS us as well at 36959. We are also on Twitter, and the handle is at KayaFM on air. And to help us navigate this very difficult conversation, and just to help us and give us that professional perspective, we are joined now on the line by Neil Beebom. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I'm sure he will correct me in a second. Neil, thank you so much for joining us, and a very good evening to you. Is that correct, Neil Beebom?
Beerbaum, yes.
Beerbaum.
Thank you, too. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, so glad to be with you. And Neil is a life coach, and he's just going to be talking us through this this conversation. And, you know, just sort of like a professional listening ear, somebody that can give a bit of advice as well, and somebody that's just there to just help us in having this conversation. Like I said earlier, the number to dial is 086-000-0959. So, Neil, first of all, difficult relationships, I suppose they can happen at any point where there is almost like a fallout between individuals. But how often do we see difficult relationships between relatives?
Yeah, I think, you know, wherever there are people, there's going to be those dynamics that can lead to trouble. And probably, you know, we can choose our friends, and we can work with people and then go home at the end of the day. And, you know, that's probably a finite relationship. But family, relatives, you know, generally they're with you for life. And so that can be quite a fraught relationship. There's a lot of potential there for, you know, and also within families, people tend to have a different sort of sense of ownership of each other than, than, you know, with friends or you know, work colleagues, etc. So, yes, there's a lot of potential there for trouble and strife.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the key word there is ownership, where you say that, you know, sometimes when we're talking about families and relatives, we tend to have a certain amount of ownership over the people that are in our lives that are blood related to us, you know, where you feel as if sometimes that they owe you a certain amount of, you know, whether it is respect or whatever it is that they may owe you. And that, in many cases, I suppose, is just a recipe for disaster.
Exactly, yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that people tend to do, especially in families, is we tend to think that other people should do things the way that I do them. We tend to have our own priority of values, and then we judge people who within the family who have a different priority of values. And so, yeah, and then we speak to people differently within our families. Often when I'm talking particularly with sort of parents and children, sometimes I say, well, what if you spoke to your children as though they were someone else's children? Mm-hmm. How would that affect the conversation? And maybe with relatives as well, we could kind of, you know, what if you had the conversation or the expectations of them that you would have of friends or work colleagues, and just, you know, just to measure up again and see how much expectations you place on them.
Mm-hmm. Because we do tend to be more polite with strangers or people that we are not that close to, with, but with our colleagues or with strangers, kids, you do tend to be a lot more polite than we are with our own families. And especially because I suppose there is that sense that, you know, this is my family, nothing's going to change. But at times it may be difficult for the person on the receiving end, you know, when they're being spoken to in a manner that it does not suit them as well, you know. So at what point, I mean, and I know it's very difficult to generalize, but where do you see normally where a relationship really collapses between relatives?
You know, I think if you're talking about sort of the signs, I think, you know, when there's politics involved and sensitivities, when you start avoiding contact with the other person, when it affects how you behave, your approach to the other person starts affecting how you show up, and also when it's on your mind a lot. I hope I'm answering your question. These are some of the signs. Like if something's on your mind a lot, like you're always trying to figure out how you're going to win this argument, how you're going to convince this person, how you're going to tell them that you don't want to be at some event, or that you need to, you know, do something differently from what they expect. That's probably one of the main signs, is that you spend a lot of mental time and energy trying to figure out how to fix the problem.
Well, if you're just joining us, it is 7 minutes after seven. You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9, and the voice on the other end is Neil Bierbaum. He is a life coach, and today we're talking about relationships. More importantly, we're talking about those difficult relationships, because, I mean, not all relationships are very easy, especially when it is between relatives, between your parents, with your siblings, with your cousins. It's not always that the relationships are smooth sailing. If you have great relationships, it's amazing, it's fantastic, but at times there can be a lot of strife, a lot of fighting, a lot of politics within families. And if you'd like to share your story with us, or maybe you'd just like to ask a question, or maybe you're just looking for a listening ear, or you just want to get it off your chest, this difficult situation that you find yourself in, the number to dial is 086-00-00959. And like I said earlier on, you're more than welcome to send us an SMS 36959 at a cost of 150. And I always remind you each and every single evening that, you know, these conversations are so sensitive, so we have no expectations of anyone to tell us exactly who they are. You can be anonymous if you want. You can change your name if you want. So you don't exactly have to come on and give us your full identity, especially because we're talking about something this sensitive. You can tweet us as well at Kai FM on air. You can DM me. You're more than welcome to send me a DM as well on at Sotutu, or you can tweet me directly at Sotutu if you'd like to join in on the conversation. Now, Neil, so we're talking about these difficult relationships that sometimes we find ourselves in. Do we find that, you know, especially when it's with siblings, when is it more likely to have those difficult relationships? So what I'm saying is that if, you know, if there's two siblings in a family, is it easier? Are those relationships a lot easier? But as the numbers grow and they get bigger, you find that it becomes a little bit more difficult to maintain a harmonious relationship amongst many siblings.
That's not my experience, and I don't think, you know, I think it depends more on how skilled the people are in managing their differences and how much awareness they bring, how much sensitivity they bring to the relationship. I think, you know, if you have a larger group, I've seen, you know, larger groups of siblings that all get along very well, and then there's sometimes one black sheep or two particular siblings that, you know, get into a lot of conflict. So, yeah, I would say, I wouldn't say it's to do with the number of siblings. It's more about how we interact and how skilled we are and sensitive we are to each other. Mm-hmm. How skilled we are in approaching each other and dealing with each other.
Mm-hmm. And can you actually come together and fix a broken relationship? Let's talk about that as well, because sometimes we talk about the negatives and we focus on the negatives, but can you actually repair a relationship that's literally gone awry?
I would say yes, always, you know, and possibly one of the things that helps with that is time and letting things go and, you know, maturing and kind of just reasoning things out for yourself and realizing that maybe, you know, because we always believe that our way is the right way and we were the right one in the argument and so does the other person. And sometimes with just a little bit of time and space and reflection and perhaps maturity and other experiences in life, we kind of get to the point that, okay, maybe I'm not always right about everything. Maybe I could see things differently from another person's perspective. And so, yes, I have seen some very fractious relationships heal themselves over time. Somebody recently, I remember someone who came onto one of our programs and he said, you know, he and his brother had been fighting for like their whole lives. They were like probably in their 60s. They've been fighting for 50 years over some particular thing that happened, and eventually they realized that they could just let it go. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I have seen that.
So it does take like a moment where people mature and sometimes to repair the relationship. But sometimes I suppose it doesn't even have to take that long, you know. At what point does one actually say that, you know what, this relationship does not work for neither one of us? Maybe it is time to repair the relationship. And how does one go about that? I mean, somebody that's listening right now and maybe is in this troubled relationship and is thinking, I would like to actually get somewhere and fix this relationship? Where does one start, especially when you are in the middle of a feud? Do you just pick up the phone and call the other person and say, hey, let's sit down and have a conversation? Because sometimes that might not work at all.
Mm. I think, you know, one of the words I've used is having the skills. So we definitely, you know, we don't really think of it that relationship is about having a skill. We kind of think, oh, it must just be natural and I must just, you know, express my feelings and everybody must be okay with that. But actually having a conversation is a skill that you can develop. And so, you know, coaching, for example, is a form of conversation. People can learn coaching skills or negotiation skills, mediation skills. Any kind of a conversational skill will give you some basic elements of how to conduct a conversation, you know, that is beneficial. And you know, I think if you're looking to deal with a conflict, the first question you've got to start is, well, do you want peace or do you want to be right? Because usually that's the thing is, you know, we're in an argument and I'm insisting that my point of view is right, mm-hmm. and I want the other person to agree with me, and then everything will be peaceful. But actually, if I want peace, then I might be the one who has to back down. And am I willing to do that? And a very good supporting statement for that is seek first to understand and then to be understood. So instead of getting people to understand my point of view, maybe first a good starting point is to approach them and say, okay, I would like there to be peace in this relationship, and first I need to understand. And sometimes, you know, the other thing we try to do is we try to resolve a conversation in one go, like in one sitting, mm-hmm. everything must be resolved. But actually, these things can take time. And, you know, maybe you can have a conversation where you start and then you open the conversation and you listen and then you go away and you think and then you come back and you, you know, so it can take time. And but always we have to be careful of that thing of, am I trying to prove a point and win the argument? Or do I want something else out of the relationship?
Mm-hmm. Especially when you feel like you still want to prove that you are correct, that the other person yes. is incorrect in how they treated you, mm-hmm. or at a point where you're still trying to express your feelings and tell the other person just how much they have hurt you, that might not be the place to start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, being patient and knowing that opportunity might come, and yeah, also understanding what it is that you really want to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're just joining us, it is 14 minutes after 7. You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9. You're listening to Talk With Myself, Sotumbeya. As usual, we are together from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock. And this evening, we're talking about having difficult relationships, and not only talking about relatives, but also talking about neighbors as well. Because, I mean, sometimes, you know, we have very difficult relationships with our neighbors, people that live right next door to us. And you find that the relationship sometimes deteriorates to a point where the person just really just wants to move. They can't move anyway. So we're talking about all those difficult relationships. If you are maybe experiencing something where maybe you are in a you have a difficult relationship with your loved ones, with your relative, or maybe you have a difficult relationship with your neighbors as well. I know they say love thy neighbor, but it's not always a very easy thing to do. You can give us a call on 086-00-00959, or you can drop us an SMS 36959 at a cost of 1.50, and you can also tweet us at Kaya FM on M. Now, Neil, you know, earlier on we were talking about, you said that, you know, sometimes difficult relationships with relatives is because of a sense of ownership that we might have when it comes to people that are in our family. But what happens if it's somebody that is not in your family? What happens when you have a very difficult relationship with your neighbor?
Yeah, I think, you know, of course, neighbors also, not unlike friends, are much more present in our life, and you can't just get rid of them. It's a major cost and implication, and so yeah, that arises as well. And I think you know, it's probably true that most people don't intend to be bad neighbors, and you know, they're probably unaware of something that they're doing that's annoying you. And that comes down to similar thing in families, is where we have expectations that the other person should know and should just behave the way that I behave, or should just mm-hmm. meet my expectations. And sometimes it's something that we need to communicate to them first. And of course, then, because nobody wants to be a bad neighbor, they will get defensive. And, you know, we have to, and it's almost, you know, you would hope that people would just take it on reasonably, and some do. But my experience with neighbors has been that, you know, sometimes they don't like to be told oh, your dog's barking too much, or, you know, you're hooting too loudly at the right next to our gates or something like that. And so they naturally get defensive.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you get the strife and the fighting.
Yeah. And again, you know, so we have to be careful about how we approach them and, you know, expect that they're going to defend, you know, to maybe fight back a little bit and defend themselves. And once again, it's about being clear on what it is that you want. You know, sometimes, you know, because often what a neighbor will do, and I've had this experience and seen it in other people as well, is, you know, what's called whataboutism. So they'll turn around and say, well, what about your dog? Or what about, you know, your guy that works on the roof, or your this, or what about the time that you set off a firecracker and Guy Fawkes 2 years ago, or whatever it happens to be, and throw something back at you. And, you know, that's when we can get sucked in. So if you then try and prove your point and defend yourself, you both get stuck in the same issue. And so I would, you know, not get sucked into that kind of a debate and try to defend yourself. But just stay with the request. Like, if the request is, you know, I need your dog to stop barking on a Saturday when you're out, then, you know, just keep repeating the request. That's, you know, just to talk about a way to approach it. And then, of course, people will respond with their stories and excuses about why this is not possible. And then you get drawn into trying to solve the problem with them. Well, also not a good idea. I would just keep going back to the request. The request is that you keep the dog quiet, and how you do that is up to you. You know, of course, to not have the conversation on a Saturday night when you've been drinking or the dog's been barking.
Yeah, exactly.
So you need to time it, and also to have the conversation in person. I mean, you know, people are, if you start sending messages via WhatsApp and text, that can, you know, that's always very dangerous. And there's no context for that. You know, people can't read the tone, and then it starts to get very heated. So I always advocate, you know, have the conversation in person, where people are then more inclined to be civilized, be, you know, visit their house or they visit your house, or maybe on the telephone, but not by text, and not on a Saturday night, and not, so being careful about those things.
That's true.
I don't know. That's useful.
Yeah. So we're taking calls, Neil. And of course, like I said earlier on, that people can tweet us and DM. And we've got a message here from somebody that's asked us to keep them anonymous. It's quite a long story, or quite a long text. So I'm going to just read through it, and then we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, maybe you can just give a bit of advice to this person. So she says, I have a very toxic relationship with my mom, because growing up, she was extremely abusive towards me and generally favored my younger brother more. I didn't realize how bad things were because I moved out at 22. I recently moved back in at 30 due to job loss. Living with her has been extremely difficult for me, as I harbor so much resentment. We fight a lot, and I'm always vocal about the hurt she put me through and how it has affected me as an adult. She has asked for forgiveness, but it's difficult for me to move past it, as I still see her favor my brother more daily. This has affected my relationship with my brother, as I feel he disrespects me. I resent them both. My mother is still not apologetic in her actions. She recently opened up to me about how badly my dad used to abuse her, sexually, emotionally, and physically as well. I think this is why she was so angry. She was an angry parent. I want to get past it, but I feel like the rot is too deep and the relationship can't be salvaged. So Neil, I'm going to take a short break, and maybe when we come back, you can just give maybe just a bit of advice to Anonymous, because it sounds like somebody that's really looking for help, where she's in a situation where she's got all this resentment pent up and trying to move past that. But it's very difficult to do that. And I suppose it becomes even more difficult when you are back living together with the same person that you resent. So I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, hopefully we've got some words of encouragement, or maybe just some sort of steps that Anonymous can take in order to try and start to maybe, you know, do the best she can in order to have a better relationship for herself. So we're going to take a short break. Is that fine?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great stuff. When we come back with Neil, carry on talking about those difficult relationships that sometimes we find ourselves in with our relatives.
This is Kaya FM 95.9.
You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9. You're listening to Talk With Myself, Sotomayor. We are together until 8 o'clock and we are taking your calls as well as SMSs or any way that you'd like to get hold of us. But preferably, if you can call us just so we can have a conversation and you can ask you one or two questions just to understand where you're coming from. Remember, like I said, you are more than welcome to remain anonymous. The number to dial is 086-00-00959. And before we went to break, we got a text from somebody talking about a very difficult relationship that she finds herself in with her mother, whom she feels favors her younger brother. And as a result, they've always had a relationship filled with strife, filled with fighting. And it's even worse now because she's back at home because she's unemployed at the moment, as, like, you know, suppose a lot of people find themselves very unemployed at this point because of where we found ourselves in terms of our economy. And now she's back living with her mother and they just cannot get along. They just always at each other's neck. So Neil, I mean, Anonymous is saying that a very difficult relationship that she's having with her mother. How do you start, first of all, with that relationship? Because it sounds like she wants to get past the resentment, but it's very difficult because she says that as far as she's concerned, her mother's not doing anything to try and, you know, make things better.
Mm. You know, I think the clue for me that, you know, her mother has tried something is that she opened up about her own suffering, her own past. And in some ways, you know, people might find it difficult to admit that they're wrong or that they were wrong. However, they might own up about what caused them to behave in that way. And that might be her indirect way of saying, look, I'm sorry, but this is the reason why. And it's not perfect. It's not ideal, but it's an opening. And my sense is that that's her mother's attempt to actually make the connection and then find a way to, you know, find a way back. And the key word that came up there is that, you know, Anonymous said she finds it hard to, her mother has asked for forgiveness. That's the other key as well, that the mother did ask for forgiveness. And she said she found that very difficult to do because of all the hurts and she favors her brother still, etc. Now, for me, that the forgiveness there is the doorway to this and the key to this whole thing because, you know, forgiveness is a choice. It's mm-hmm. not something that you arrive at after you've punished the person enough or, you know, suffered enough or anything like that. It really is a choice. And if you think about it logically, you don't forgive when there's nothing to forgive.
Yeah.
Then it wouldn't be forgiveness. Forgiveness is when there is something to forgive. And the greater the offense, the greater the power of that forgiveness, you know. And forgiveness is not done to absolve the other person and let them walk away. It's mm-hmm. done to liberate yourself from the resentment and everything that is caught up in there. And so forgiveness is really a choice. And if you make that choice, and you might have to come back and remind yourself that you've made that choice a few times, that's mm-hmm. absolutely true and okay. But once you make that choice to forgive, a tremendous burden is lifted. And then I would say the next step would be, I said earlier, first seek to understand and then to be understood. So then start listening to what her mother has said about her own suffering, her own reasons, etc. And then take some time and then seek to be understood, which means start saying how your behavior has impacted me and mm-hmm. start saying what you've noticed about the and, you know, that you favor, or in my view, you favor the brother, and start making your requests about what you would like to see, how you would like to see the mother show up, how you would like to see your mother treat you, and then start getting some agreements from your mother around that, and pointing out when she's not keeping those agreements, not
those,
behaving in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the pathway that I would see for that to happen. And it doesn't all have to happen in one sitting, you know what I mean? As I said, mm-hmm. this could take 6 months, but it's a journey. First forgive, then listen, then start to speak and start to express your needs and mm-hmm. start to get agreements in the situation around that.
Mm-hmm. But the important thing is that she needs to make that decision, because with all the hurt and everything else, you still need to make the decision. Do you want to stay with the resentment? Do you want to harbor the grudges and the feelings? Because at the end of the day, they probably eat more at you than they do the other person.
Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. totally. And you kind of keep the person trapped in the past. You know, the mother has given a couple of hints that she would like to move past if she knew how, but she perhaps doesn't know how.
Mm-hmm.
And by not forgiving, then you keep bringing the past into the present instead of saying, okay, let's leave the past in the past, and let's try to create something new in the current reality and moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And I know it can be a very difficult thing to make. I mean, a very difficult decision to make to forgive someone, especially when you've lived with feelings for many, many, many years. It's very difficult to just wake up suddenly one day and say, you know what, I have made the decision that I'm going to forgive this person and move on, especially, you know, because our mind sometimes plays tricks on us and, you start to imagine things on this day, that day something happened. So I can understand with Anonymous that it can be a very difficult thing to actually wake up and decide, I am going to forgive someone. But, you know, I think Anonymous, this is something that you probably do for yourself. If you're just joining us, it is 7:30. We're still having a conversation talking about having difficult relationships with our relatives. We are still taking your calls on 086-000-0959 and your SMSs 36959. And like I said earlier, you can tweet us as well at Sututu, at Kaya FM on air, and we will get to you and, you know, just try as best as we can to help you alongside Neil, who is a life coach. We've got another call, a caller here, Neil, who is Anonymous. Anonymous, very good evening to you, and so thank you for joining us.
Good evening, and good evening to your guest.
Hi, yes.
I have a similar problem like the other person who wrote. But mine, she didn't open up that she had a problem with my dad or something like that. I had a problem over. I would say 15 or 20 years. I'm a man of 40. So I have a problem with my mom, I don't have a good relationship with her. We are not fighting, but it's someone who doesn't acknowledge when she has wronged someone.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I find that I'm one of the people who she never liked. That's the feeling I'm getting. And I opened up to her sometime and telling her that even when you are coming to my house, you can't even, you know, take my kids as your grandchildren, help you with them. And there's so much that she has caused that when I think of her, I become so angry, so much angry. I don't even know how am I going to mend this relationship that I have with her. Because at the moment, I think from last year, I cancelled all the policies I had for her, you know, thinking, no, I can't continue with this anymore. How can I deal with someone who doesn't love me? I'm her daughter. I mean, her child.
Her son, yeah.
You know, but the time I had a meeting with her last time, I said, I think I'm going to do myself. In other words, I'm going to do my family. I'm not going to care about whatever that's happening about your life or my life.
And what was her response?
Mostly she becomes quiet.
And she shuts down, I suppose.
I don't know as whether she acknowledges that I'm wrong. I think I'm going to do something better going forward. But she does become quiet. And after that, she disappears. So she will come later. Maybe, I think I had a conversation two years back. She came this year. And we have to move forward as if nothing happened. And it has been a roller coaster like this. Now, hence, I decided to say I'm going to do me and my family, and I live there. And she's someone in the pensions, and it worries me that, I mean, I canceled this thing, the policies, because of anger.
Okay, well, let's hear from Neil, who is a life coach. Neil, here's somebody that's saying that, you know, he sounds like he's still very upset, very angry at his mother. How do you advise Anonymous?
Yeah, you know, I think the power that you have available is the power to express the problem and to make a request. We cannot force the person to change their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what you can do, and you've exercised that power by expressing what concerns you. So there's three levels of that. And the first is basically putting it on the table. And I think we all know that, like when something is bugging you with a relative or another person, whoever it is in your life, and you finally get it out on the table, like when you come into my house, you do this, you don't acknowledge anything, you act as though you don't like me, whatever it is that you say to them, just getting that off your chest is a very powerful and liberating thing to do, and it frees up your own mind and your own energy with regards to that.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't have to get to the other person's agreement. It's enough just to tell them. We don't have to win the argument. We don't have to do anything. The next level up from that is when you actually make a request to them and say, I need you to show up in the following way. I need you to come into my house and be nice or be kind, or I need you to acknowledge me or behave in a certain way. And then the other person agrees or doesn't agree to that.
Mm-hmm.
In Anonymous's
case, where he says his mother just keeps quiet, does not even respond.
Mm, yeah. So now, again, that's our observation. Okay, so I'm not sure whether he's actually made it as a request. Like, say to her, do you agree to address this behavior and change this behavior or not?
Let's ask him, because he's still on the line. So, Anonymous, have you made that request to your mother?
No, I haven't. I haven't, because I end up telling her that I think you favor other my siblings than myself. And at the end of the day, I'm the one who's doing better in life. I'm confused. What is it that's happening?
Okay. Let's hear from Neil. Yeah. So he says he hasn't made the request. Yeah.
So it might be worth just, taking that, expressing. So you're expressing your point of view, and it might be worth taking it up a notch to actually ask her what you want from her and get her to, and you say to her, do you agree to this, yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
So actually asking for an agreement, and maybe that will get her to speak up. And she's either going to say yes, in which case, okay, great, now let's see if she actually does it.
Mm-hmm.
Or she might say no, but it'll force some truth out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
She might refuse to answer and disappear. Well, the fact is that you've acted with what you have the power to do.
Yeah.
And you can't force the behavior beyond that. And then your choice beyond that is do you live with the answer that you get or not? And, you can do it with a sense of forgiveness and, okay, that's just how she is. And, and I accept that. And I will treat her as my mother and do X, Y, Z for her. You're quite within your rights to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Cancelling the policy because you're angry, you might still choose to, make different choices around that. And I'm not saying that, what's right or wrong.
Yeah.
You might enlist your siblings on that and say, look, I need you to go and, create these policies for our mother and for you to support her or something.
Mm-hmm.
You might find a slightly different or more balanced approach to that problem. But yeah, I think the starting point is seeing if you can get her to actually acknowledge and agree
mm-hmm.
to something that you would like to see.
Okay. Anonymous? Oh, Shibbert, I don't know what is happening with...
No, I think it's better I heard him. I take it.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Thank you, Anonymous, and for sharing your story with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. If you're just joining us, it is almost 20 minutes to 8. You're listening to Kaya FM 95.9, and we are still in conversation with Neil, who is a life coach. And, of course, we are talking about those difficult relationships that sometimes we find ourselves in, relationships that involve our parents. Sometimes they involve our siblings. Sometimes they involve our extended families. But sometimes you are in these difficult relationships, and you don't know where to go and how to navigate those relationships. So that's what we're talking about this evening. And maybe also getting a bit of advice from Neil, who is a life coach, as to how sometimes we can make a starting point trying to either repair those relationships or just move on from those relationships. We've still got quite a few people on Twitter as well, Neil. I'm going to read out one tweet, and when we come back, maybe we can get a response for this particular individual. I'm not sure if he wants to remain anonymous, so I'm just going to keep him anonymous. He says, I've got a bad relationship with my father. We can't get along. He doesn't respect me even in front of of people, and he doesn't take me seriously no matter how hard I try. I'm even working with him, so I think maybe they work together. So that's a tweet that we got, and maybe we can respond to that when we come back, Neil. Somebody saying that their father disrespects them to a point where it is in front of people. So when we come back after the break, we'll talk about that. If you'd like to give us a call, the number to dial is 086 00 00959. If you'd like to you know, tell us what your situation is in the relationship that you have with your loved ones.
This is Kaya FM 95.9.
This is Talk With Myself, Sotumea. And this evening we're talking about difficult relationships, whether it is the relationships with our parents, with our spouse, well, not really spouses, but with our relatives, you know, with our parents, with our siblings, with people that we are related to. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, give us a call on 086-00-00959 and you can drop us an SMS 36959 at a cost of 150. Now, Neil, before we went to break, we got a tweet. Somebody talking about a very difficult relationship that he has with his father, who does not respect him, and more importantly, also disrespects him in front of other people. What do you say to somebody like that? You know, having somebody disrespect you in public, I think, must be the absolute pits for absolutely everyone. So, where do you start with that?
Yeah. So, I think this one represents something that is there's a common thread here, and that is that, you know, we expect other people to know how we want to be treated and that we should not have to tell them. And especially because, well, it's my father, he should know, or she's my mother, she should know, or he's my boss or she's my boss, she should know. They're a sister, they're my wife, they're my girlfriend, my boyfriend, whatever, they should know. And so therefore we feel that we should not have to ask. That would be wrong. That would be so, you know, and the problem is that other people have their own perspective. They're unaware that they're doing the behavior. They are doing things the way that they were treated or the way that they learned, etc. And so it's something to look out for and see that the first question you've got to ask yourself is, have you communicated the problem to the person concerned? Because usually what we do is we go and tell other people. We tell our friends about the you know, we complain to our spouse about our boss, and we complain to our friends about our spouse, but we don't go to the person concerned and say, this behavior is troubling me. I need you to address it. So, and it comes back to what I used in the previous one. Basically, the first thing is just telling them, putting it on the table. So I would say that he may not have had this conversation with his father, and if he hasn't, he should. Sit him down and say, Father, this is how you treat me, and this is how I experience it, and I would prefer that you don't do that.
Yeah.
That's the one level. The second level is to actually make it as a request. My request is that you treat me with respect in front of other people, and then get an agreement. So follow it up with, do you agree to this, yes or no? And try to get the person to actually agree to that. So those are the two levels. The first level is just sharing the problem with the person concerned, and the second is actually trying to get an agreement from them to behave differently. And then you're on a completely different footing with regards to that person and that thing.
Okay. Well, let's take more calls. Oh, sorry, Neil, you were still carrying on. Yes.
Yeah, just to jump in, like the second part of that is whether you get the results or not. Well, that's a different question. Like maybe the father refuses to consider your request, or maybe they promise to and then they don't. Well, then you can deal with that at a different level. But you're acting within your power when you speak to the person directly and you confront the issue and you tell them what the issue is and what you require as a behavior going forward.
Okay. Neil, I've got quite a few callers here, people that want to also give their you know, give their bit and also maybe get a bit of advice. We're going to take Anonymous. Anonymous, very good evening to you and thank you so much for calling.
Anonymous. Hi, Ella.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay, yourself?
Good, thank you.
Oh, sharp. I think I'd like to remain anonymous.
That's fine.
Yeah, I just need to understand something. I grew up in the rural areas part of KZN. I was raised by my grandmother, grandfather, and most of the people I looked up to was my uncle. So recently, all of a sudden, my uncle started uttering words such as, he hates me, my brother, and my mother. And I don't know what happened, because this person was somebody I looked up to. I remember at some point I even said to some people, you know, I think this guy would take a bullet for me and everything. So what would maybe change him? My mother suggested maybe he's jealous of some of the little things I've achieved. Is it possible from somebody who you grew up under?
Yeah.
Somebody who you looked up to, somebody who gave you advice about life, that they suddenly switch and become jealous of your success? Because I personally believe whatever little thing I achieved is technically part of it.
Okay, let's hear from Neil. So what happens when a relationship just changes and you don't know how or what happened?
Wow, that's quite a challenging one and difficult to deal with, especially when you've looked up to him your whole life. And I would say it sounds possible that the person could become jealous of you, your success, the way your life has been compared to theirs, and then have that reaction. And I suppose the question once again is, is it something that you sort of just have understanding towards and tolerate and forgive? Is it something that you need to have a conversation with them about and approach them and say, I've heard this, and is it true? And, again, that principle, seek first to understand. Maybe the person even denies it. They say, oh, it's not true, it's not true. Mm. But the fact that you've confronted it with them, that they know that you've heard about it, that it's come back, it will have an effect. Even if you walk away with not having got satisfaction from the conversation, the fact that it's gone back to them and come from you, well, it will plant a seed. Something will happen in that space. And, so I think it's not always about having to get our way in the conversation or get exactly the answer we want. Sometimes just sharing the information and letting the person know that there's an issue, that there's a problem, that we're aware of it or something like that can have a powerful effect as well. Mm-hmm. And again, there's the waiting thing. Sometimes you might have to wait and see what happens over time. Maybe the person's attitude shifts slowly over time. Maybe you can find out what it is that they would want in order to repair the relationship and see if that's something reasonable that you could agree to.
Yeah,
it might be something that they're thinking of that they heard that you said. That
exactly.
We can always be surprised by what information comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you can have the skill to get that out of them, then that would be the way to go, I would say.
Okay. So Anonymous, you got that, Anne. So maybe it's best that you actually address the problem with your uncle and see where he's coming from and what is happening exactly.
Yeah, and the thing is, I've tried so many times, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this. Coming from a black family, you can't really approach an elderly person and say, I don't like 1, 2, 3 about what you said and stuff. And being the only surviving uncle in my family at the moment is really difficult because, some of the things, some rituals, you need to speak to him.
Mm.
Yeah, but I'll see and try some other methods. Mm. Maybe I'll speak to somebody who's more skilled to try and approach him.
All right, thanks a lot. Thank you very much for calling us anonymous. I'm going to take another tweet here. Somebody that also wants to remain anonymous, and this person says, I wish it was that easy to talk to our parents, especially mothers who always regard you as a child, even in your 30s. To my mom, it is taboo to drink, and I usually hide my alcohol in my room, but she goes through my things and finds the alcohol and starts screaming at me. It's a lot. I can't handle the noise and invading my privacy. I'm thinking of moving out, but I don't want to leave her alone in the house. I'm just torn, but I've had enough. Please, and the person says, please keep me anonymous. So Neil, this is somebody in their 30s. You're living at home under your mother's roof, and you feel like that your mother's still treating you like a child, especially because she says she enjoys her alcohol and she can't do it in peace.
So again, I think there's definitely time to own up and to be the adult and to be treated like an adult and to make that request and make that clear. And, if you don't want to move out because you want to support your mother by being there, well, there's a choice there, that's a choice you can make. And you still need to be able to be the adult in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for that, to come out. And sometimes, there's a thing of choose your discomfort. So do you want to have the discomfort of hiding your booze and having that problem, or do you want to have the discomfort of challenging your mother, having the difficult conversation and saying, this is how it's going to be from now on, I'm an adult, and getting past that. Sometimes that conversation is difficult. There's a flare up once or twice and then we get past it. And sometimes you've got to just take the longer term view, like, okay, there's going to be a bit of a flare up here, it's going to go south for a couple of weeks, a week or two, or a month or two. she might sulk for a month or two, but eventually she'll get used to it, she'll get past it. So, you know, I think it's about, taking that adult stance and really moving past that and claiming your rights to be an adult in your own home.
And as well, you know, Neil, is it sometimes that maybe your parents or your mother doesn't know? You know, what I'm trying to say is that you get to a point where your mother does not realize that you are an adult. Of course, they know that you're 30. I mean, they know it. I mean, they know how old you are. But sometimes, because you've been living at home and you're still living in your bedroom and things are still pretty much the same, where they lose sight of the fact that you really are an adult. You know, and sometimes it takes us having to communicate. And I know she says that sometimes it's very difficult to talk to our parents. And it can be. But sometimes it takes that being able to speak up for a parent to realize that I am talking to another adult here.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there's got to be some shift. Maybe I want to say, you know, if it means moving out and finding different arrangements with the mother, maybe that's what has to happen. Sometimes psychologically people get stuck with things being a certain way, and sometimes it takes some sort of reasonable trauma to shift them out of that and to make them realize that things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's simply a matter of changing the behavior and enduring the tension that will arise during the transition phase. But somewhere there has to be a demonstration that things are different.
Mm-hmm. Because I think, you know, for me, it's very important when you said that sometimes we assume that people know how we want to be treated. But you haven't communicated that. You haven't said yet. You know, because sometimes you, out of fear, out of respect, out of whatever it is, you have not communicated your needs. You have not actually said that I don't want to be treated like this. And therefore, the other person does not see anything wrong with treating you the way that they do. You know, that is also a possibility, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, if you just think about it, if you sit down and you say to a parent in that situation, mother, this is how I would like to be treated. Do you agree, yes or no? That asking that question, do you agree, yes or no, is so powerful because all this stuff is happening sort of unconsciously. It's not, you know, and it's based on, none of it has been agreed to. But if you get a person to say yes or no, then you've got clarity from, okay, so you're saying no to that. All right, now I've got a very clear thing that I can deal with. Either I'm willing to live with this, or I'm not willing to live with it, in which case I must now move out. So that pushes you to your next choice. And often we don't do that. We don't ask for the agreement because we're afraid that if the person says no, we'll actually then have to live with the consequence of that and have to make another choice.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd rather punish the person and have the conflict than get the clarity and live with the consequence of that clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but if, you know, if the mother is confronted with a clear request, do you agree to treat me as an adult from now on, yes or no? And you get a yes, well, great. If you get a no, well, I bet you that's the first time she's considered that, you know, like had that conversation. And it will certainly plant a seed. And then you could go back and ask again. Have you, you know, are you willing to reconsider that? And that's a very different conversation from having an argument about hiding a bottle in a cupboard. Somewhere.
Exactly. And as well, you know, once you've had that conversation and somebody has said that I am not willing to treat you that way, then as well, the other person also, there's an understanding of why I'm moving out now, right? Then it's easier to understand, okay, this person is moving out because I'm not willing to treat them this way. They want to be. And I know many times it's easier said than done, because Anonymous did say that it's easier said than done, where you can't talk to your parents, you can't talk to your elders. But unfortunately, if you don't do the talking, then it means that you must just accept how things are. But if you want to change the situation, you are going to have to talk at some point, right?
Totally. You know, often we use or we allow the cultural aspect to override that, and then that becomes part of our disempowering narrative that keeps us stuck. And sometimes we have to rise above that. We have to rise above our cultural narrative. We have to rise above all the stories that we have about the past and all of those things. And we have to have that conversation and get that clarity. And then things change so fast once you do that. So, you know, you can live with the problem for 10 years, or you can live with a difficult conversation for that'll last probably 20 minutes or 40 minutes or 60 minutes. And then at the end of that, you will get clarity. Things will move in one direction or another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really taking responsibility for your life, for what you want. And as adults, we really have to do that. We have to show up and be responsible and ask for what it is that we want. It's only when we're babies that we can expect other people to read our mind and know what it is that we want. Beyond that, we've got to be able to ask for it and then live with the consequences of the answer that we get, which might be a yes and it might be a no.
Mm-hmm.
But at least then we have clarity and we can move forward with it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Neil. But before I let you go, just one last question. At what point is it okay to let go of a relationship? I'm asking this because there's been a lot of people that have called and also sent messages about difficult relationships with their parents that are very, very difficult. At what point, or is it ever okay to just let the relationship just sail away? Like, is there ever a point where you can say, you know what, it's okay to just let it go?
I would go back to the previous conversation. Until you've asked for agreement on what it is that you want, you're giving up on the relationship. In a passive way or a powerless way or a way that is not taking responsibility, first go and ask for what it is that you want. Go and express what your needs are and get a response from them one way or the other and start that conversation. And you may be surprised by the outcome that you get. And if not, you may then want to park the relationship and ask again. And if you still don't get what you want, then you can consider ending the relationship or distancing yourself. But at least you know in your conscience that you've done all you can. If you haven't communicated it, you haven't done all that you can.
Okay, so first you need to ask and then ask again and ask again before you let go. You need to be able to say to yourself, I have tried this, 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 and this before you say, okay, that's it, I'm letting go, goodbye.
Yes. Tried everything you can in terms of straightforward communication and not, hinting and manipulation and all sorts of other things.
And passive aggressive.
Clear conversation and then you can see what happens, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, Neil, and thank you very much for staying the hour with us and just helping us navigate this conversation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So that was Neil, who is a relationship expert, who is a life coach, and basically just talking us through that, those difficult relationships that sometimes we may find ourselves in with regards to our relatives. So that's all we have for you this evening. I will be back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on Kaya FM 95.9. From Misa Tumeya, it is goodbye, and I do enjoy the rest of your evening.
This is Kaya FM 95.9. Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.